Welcome to His Church, Owensboro Podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in your life, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at hischurch.cc and let us know about all of the things that God is doing in your life. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would consider supporting us financially, please visit hischurch.cc and click on Give to see the many options available. Thank you for joining us. We hope this message blesses you.
What's going on, His Church, Owensboro? Pastor Brian Gibson here, and I'm tell you what, I'm so excited after this last week. I hope you came out at the His Conference. It was incredible, man. The Word of the Lord was here. Power of God was moving. People were excited, and I think we can just sense that God has a plan for us that's bigger than ourselves. You know, to be a part of a plan that's bigger than just us is we're going to have to be a team. A team gets things done. And Jesus put together something called the church. It's a sacred team, sacred assembly. The Bible says that the Spirit of God puts us together where He sees fit. And He puts different parts of the body in different places for different purposes. You know, I'm kind of the mouth. That's kind of what I do all my life. Fed a big mouth and God's used it for His glory. Jesse and I both we're talkers and we see where we want to go. We kind of have vision and we talk. But I'm telling you, if the body was just a mouth, if that's the only part of a team we had, we'd be in big trouble. Because a body needs more than a mouth, right? You need legs, you need feet, you need hands, you need backbone. We need every part of the body of Christ. And today, I'm going to have some different parts of the body get up and talk to you. There's going to be several different people coming up, great people. People that I trust with my life, trust with my family, trust with my money, and I trust them with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be speaking to you for a few minutes apiece. It's going to be so much fun, be a lot of energy. Come on, y'all, get behind them and help them. And they're going to release what God's been talking to them, sharing with them about the future of His church and what God wants to do in your life. I love these people. I'm so proud of them. I want you to get behind them today. Listen, the sky's the limit. I also want to thank every one of you for the sacrificial giving. This last week with the His Honor offering, it was huge. You gave next level, and God's going to use it for His glory. Hey, we love you. Y'all enjoy my dear friends today. God bless.
Praise the Lord. For the record, y'all heard him say that he trusts us with his money. Come on, Pastor Brian. We need some money. My name is John Tatum, and I am the youth director here at His Church. Pastor Patrick Donahue, he's our executive pastor, and Pastor Tiffany Donahue, his wife, is the worship pastor, and we are excited to speak to you today. Are you happy? Pastor Brian paid me to say that. I'm kidding, he didn't. If you are just now realizing that Pastor Brian isn't the one going to be speaking today, and you thought to yourself that you should stay home and had watched it online, we still love you. And if you don't like what I have to say, surely one of these two has a word in due season for you. And I'm believing that today we came with one agenda, and that was for you to leave encouraged. So we want to encourage you. We're going to talk about teamwork today. And I would like to go on the record and publicly repent to the production team for the joke that I made during first service. You see it, guys? I publicly repented. Let's give the production team a hand clap. I got jokes. That can mean two different things. He got jokes. I got jokes. But what an amazing time to be a part of His church. Are you excited to be a part of His church? Praise the Lord. One church, two locations. I remember there was a time where Pastor Brian was coaching me, and he would say, Tatum, because he always calls me by my last name. He'd say, Tatum, man, we break the barrier on this second campus, and all the other campuses are going to fall into place. And I believe that he was prophesying to me, because here we have broke the barrier on the second campus, and we can see the third one growing in numbers daily. Praise the Lord. It's an exciting time to be a part of His church. Not only, you can hand clap. There is no wrong moment to clap your hands. Not only do we get to see it unfold, but we get to help make it happen. We get to be a part of something that is great, and I'm excited to be here. And like I said, we're going to talk to you about teamwork, and they only gave me 8 minutes, And my spiritual gift is to use every single one of those minutes and then some. So forgive me, my fellow teammates. But I want to look at one story in the Bible that has to deal with teamwork. There's tons of stories in the Bible, but if you want to open your Bible up to Exodus chapter 18, we're going to read verses 13 through 23. And this story is about Jethro and Moses. Now, I picked this story for two reasons. One, it has a really good lesson. And two, come on, Jethro is a Kentucky name. There has never been a more Kentucky name in the Bible than Jethro. And I believe that it is Chris Gary's middle name. Chris Jethro Gary. And I'm kidding. I told him I was going to say that. But I said it because if you close your eyes when he's talking to you, he sounds like somebody named Jethro. He's from Ohio County. Where are my Ohio County people at? Come on. Bunch of Jethros. But in this story, Jethro has Moses' wife, which is Jethro's daughter. He is Moses' father-in-law. And he has Moses' two sons. And he says, hey, Moses has pulled the Israelites out of Egypt. And he's in an encampment somewhere. I need to take his family back to him. Because how many people know when your family comes to visit you, it is great in the beginning. But after a while, every conversation ends with, what day were you leaving again? Come on. Jethro's like, I've already raised this girl. It's time that she goes with Moses. So he takes Moses' family to him. And he sees all that Moses is doing. Moses breaks it all down. He says, man, God is great. God is surely with you. He offers up a sacrifice. And then this is where we pick up in Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 through 23. They'll put it up on the screen here. And I'm reading the ESV version. It reads like this. The next day, Moses sat down to judge the people. And the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning till evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between the one person and another, and I make them known the statutes of God and his law. Moses' father-in-law said, what you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them known the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. Amen. So Jethro, leadership 101. Jethro says, hey, Moses, you are awesome. Leadership 101, you always build up before you correct. He's like, man, you are great. You're so awesome, but what you are doing is not good. You will certainly wear yourself out. What you need to do is you need to go get you some campus pastors. You need to go get you some ministry leaders, people who can help carry your burden so that you can continually do the things that God has called you to do, the heavy things, the big things. You can do those things and everybody else is still getting ministered to efficiently. Come on, we are called to stand up and support our pastor so that he can stand up here on Sunday mornings and he can talk about the things that nobody else wants to talk about. He can talk about how an unborn child is a living person. And we can still minister to you. Praise the Lord. I am thankful that we have a pastor who will stand up here and he will talk about the things that nobody else wants to talk about. And he is a great man and I love getting to be under his stewardship. That is for sure. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I know that my God My God is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. So if it was the model for Moses, then it is the model for us, that we are called to build up, to send out, to reach more. We are called to build people up, to send them out, to reach more. We are called to build people up, to send them out, to reach more. Pastor Brian's mighty men and women that Jethro was talking about in the Bible are sitting in this room right now. Pastor Brian's mighty men and women that Jethro was talking about in the Bible are sitting in the Amarillo campus right now. We are called to support and hold up our pastor so that he can go out and he can do the heavy things. So let's help carry his weight. Let's help support him up. Let's speak life into the situation so that we can build up and send out to reach more. When we work together as a team, when we come together as a team, all these God-willing things begin to happen. We create a purpose for everyone. Every single person in this room has a purpose. Every single person in this room has a calling. And we, the church, is called to pull that thing out of you so that you can see what you're capable of, so that you can see the things that God has called you to do. And each and every one of you plays a pivotal role in what happens at his church. You and you alone help support what God is trying to do here. You and you alone are a pivotal part of a team that makes sure that everybody hears the gospel, everybody hears the word. We begin to work together as a team, we begin to see more and more of God's opportunities in front of us. And when we see God's opportunities and we act upon them, people get saved. And that's what this is all about, for us to take as many people with us as we possibly can before Jesus comes back. I will end with this. There's a story in Acts chapter 3 where Peter and John are approaching the beautiful gate and there's a paralyzed man. And he asks Peter and John for money, but Peter says, I don't have any money, but I'm going to give you what I do have. Stand up and walk. So the man stands up and walks for the first time. And he doesn't even just walk, he begins to run. Because if you've never walked before in your life, the first thing that you're going to do is take off running. So he takes off running and everybody begins to see this man rejoicing. And they say, that's the paralyzed man. That's the man that's been sitting at the front of the gate all these years asking for money. They begin to rejoice too. And the Bible says that Peter saw his opportunity. He began to preach the word of God, began to tell them what Jesus Christ did for them. And the Bible says that 5,000 people came to know who Jesus was because Peter saw his opportunity. We are called to be a people of opportunity, to see what God has placed in front of us and to be a people of action. We are called to run towards what we once ran from. We don't have a spirit of fear, so if our pastor stands up here and he gives a vision that seems bigger than what we can handle, we say, you know what? I'm going to run towards that thing because the old me would have ran away from it. So I'm going to support my pastor and I'm going to believe that when he says, hey, I need somebody to go to this rural community in America and preach the word of God, we would be the type of people that stand up and say, when do we leave? When do we go? Send us out. We're going to build up to send out to reach more. Amen. Pastor Tiffany, I went over 3 minutes. Praise the Lord.
Teamwork makes the dream work. Amen. I know Pastor Brian says that all the time. And so we're just going to continue just in that same vein of teamwork. And I just want to share a story out of the book of Nehemiah. And I think it's such a powerful passage about teamwork and about the strength of a team. So Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 15 through 18, it says, so I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. So in this chapter, what happened is 152 years prior to this, King Nebuchadnezzar had torn down the walls of Jerusalem, had burned the city gates. And Nehemiah was going to go back, and he was going to rebuild the walls, and he was going to rebuild the gate. And so he assembled a team. He gathered a team that would go and would take care of that. So they went, and they began that work. And, you know, it only took them 52 days to rebuild all of the walls around Jerusalem and all of the gates. How many of you know that is not something that could have been accomplished in that fast of a time if Nehemiah had tried to do that alone? His team helped make that possible. So just want to encourage you that, like, the vision of this house specifically, of his church, it is to plant 100 campuses. That is the vision that God has given our pastors. And that is not something that can be done alone. That's something that requires a team. It requires us working together. And the whole chapter, the whole third chapter of Nehemiah, it's an account of how the wall was rebuilt. And it was an account of who played what part. And I think that chapter is in there just to show us the magnitude of what they were able to accomplish in that short of a period of time. And so I just want to pull a few components from that story and from teams in general. I just want to give you three components of an effective team and of a successful team. And number one, the first one is there are different roles and there are different parts. In this one, in this chapter specifically, in this story, once they got to the wall, the enemies began to come against them. They began to attack them. So Nehemiah and his team, they divided up into different responsibilities, into different parts. Some kept working on the wall. Some took over and started guarding the wall. But both of those parts were super important to making sure that this project was able to be fulfilled. You know, everybody has a part to play, and everybody's part is important. In the walls of Jerusalem, there are so many gates that wrap that city. And when you're working on that, I'm sure they could think, well, that gate is more important than this gate. And I'm sure we all kind of deal with that too. I'm sure there are times where we think, well, my job isn't as important as their job. But looking at that from a construction standpoint, if you step back and you just look at the construction of those walls, if one of those gates had not been completed, if one of those gates did not get built, the whole safety of the city would be compromised. So everybody's part is important. You know, we all have different giftings. We all have different abilities. But, and sometimes the work we do, it may feel insignificant. But I can promise you there is a huge purpose in it, and it has eternal consequences. You never know what God is doing through your service. You know, burdens are lighter when we work together as a team. You know, I was looking at a couple of different studies, and I found that 90% of the church is done by only 10% of the congregation. So can you imagine what would happen if 100% of us used our giftings that God had given us and used our abilities, and we stepped up and we helped push the vision of this house forward? We helped push the vision of the church forward in the kingdom of God. Just imagine the difference that we could make. So number one, we have different roles and we have different parts. Number two, the second component of an effective team is unity. You know, this is a critical part of being effective. Unity is where we get our strength. Our strength is in our unity. And my world is worship. Most of what I do is worship. And so I know for us, so I'll use a lot of worship examples, but I know for us, like, we have to come out here. When we come out here as a unified force. Because we understand the importance of what we're doing. We understand that worship, the way we do it at the beginning of the service, it helps set the tone for this place. It helps change the atmosphere. It helps usher in the presence of God. And what we're doing plays such a big part because we're able to help lead you guys into worship with Jesus. We're able to help lead you guys into the throne room. We're able to help prepare people's hearts to receive the gospel. For the word of God to come forth when Pastor Brian gets up here. And so we understand the magnitude of what we do. And so we have to come out here unified. We have to come out here as one team with one heart, with one voice. If we come out here and I'm playing one song and Holly's singing a different song and Jeremy's playing a different song, we're not unified. All of a sudden, when you look up here, you're not going to see unity. You're going to see chaos. And the Bible says that God is not the author of chaos. So we always pray in the back. We pray that when we come on the stage, that you guys would not see us, but you would see Jesus. So we know that we have to come out here in unity for that to happen. So unity is super important. And number three is encouragement. You know, we should be cheering on everybody that we see doing the work of the Lord. And another just example with worship team, I have never been more proud to be a part of our team, and I've never been more proud to be a worship leader as I was a few weeks ago. We had somebody who led a song for the first time, and he was nervous. You know, this is intimidating to get up here and to lead a song and to step out of your comfort zone. But what I loved about our team is they found out he was going to be leading the song. And we have a group message that we do every week. And in that group text, everybody's jumping in there. You're going to do great. You're going to kill it. We're behind you. You've got this. And I just loved that. And then when we get here in practice, everybody cheered for him. They were super excited. He came out here and he did awesome. And afterward, leaving and hearing, you did great. This was awesome. You were called for such a time as this. It made me so proud to do and be a part of this team because encouragement makes such a big deal. It's such a big deal because when you come out here and you realize that there is a team of people that they have your back, and an important part too of encouraging and being part of a team is that we're not wanting other people to fail. We're wanting everybody to succeed because if our team fails, we fail. If our team succeeds, we succeed. So I know coming out here, I know I make mistakes every worship set. I promise it's just a little secret for y'all. I make mistakes every time, but my team doesn't try to highlight that. We're not up here trying to highlight everybody's mistakes, but we're up here to step in, to jump in, to have each other's backs, to help cover those mistakes. We're here to encourage one another to walk in unity and to realize that what we do is a big deal, that what we do is important. So I just want to encourage you that what you do is important to the body of Christ. And we have a sign back here in the worship room that says that it is a privilege and an honor to be on the stage. And, you know, it is a privilege and it's an honor to serve the house of God, to serve on a team. It is a privilege and an honor to be a part of a church who is wanting and seeing 100 campuses as their vision. They're pushing that down the field. They're pushing the ball down the field with that because they know that there are people out there that need Jesus. And so the three components of an effective team, there are different roles and parts. Number two is unity, and number three is encouragement. So today, I just want to ask you two questions. Number one, are you a burden to the work that's going on around you, or are you helping to lessen the burden? I want to be able to lessen that burden on my team. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And number two, who have you encouraged today? I just encourage you when you leave here just to find somebody and encourage them. Say, you have done a great job. You are doing awesome today. I loved this cup of coffee. I loved being greeted when I came in this morning. Just encourage somebody. And now I'm going to encourage Pastor Patrick to come and share with us.
Not to be outdone, I encourage you, Tiffany. You did a fantastic job. Yes. Hey, earlier, they were talking about teamwork. Teamwork makes the... Right? So we've been here almost a decade, Tiffany and myself, and Pastor Brian has said that so many times in staff meetings and team meetings and rallies and in services. Man, it's you can't say the word teamwork. I can't hear it in church or just out in the world. I can't hear teamwork and it just not popping in my mind. It makes the dream work. It makes the dream work. It makes the dream work. And earlier in the first service, John said it, for whatever reason, it just popped in my mind. This mission trip I got to go on about a year ago, and it was with Lana Vasquez. Lana was part of the, she spoke on Wednesday night as part of the His conference. Anybody enjoy that conference? I had a great time. If you missed it, man, it's online. You should check it out. It was fantastic. Last Sunday through Wednesday, nightly services. And anyway, Lana, who is head of Life Impact, the main mission that we support here at the church, had a chance to go with a team over in Thailand. And just talking about culture. And we were visiting, did a site visit to this place called The Dump. And it literally was a dump. It was a trash heap. And it's where all the waste went to be dropped off. And there were communities that lived in the dump. Children, families, people of all ages living in this filth. And but it's part of the Thai culture that you don't wear your shoes inside. They consider it dirty. And so so everywhere you go, anywhere you'd go in Thailand, you'd see all these, you know, all the rows of shoes outside that door. And even in the dump, even in the midst of that filth, it was so ingrained in their culture, they didn't do that. Even the people that lived there, they still took their shoes off when they entered in these makeshift huts, because that was part of their of their culture. I thought, man, that'll preach. That's powerful testimony on just the power of culture. And man, our culture here is to let people know that there's a God who loves them, and that Jesus went to the cross and died for them. Man, our culture is to create an atmosphere that it doesn't matter what your background is, but when you walk through the door, if you're watching online, that you can connect with God, and we want to make that easy for you. And so teamwork, man, it makes the dream work. And the dream for us, the culture for us, is just that, is to let people know there's a God who loves them. And so I love that. I love that Lana was here talking about that again on Wednesday night. And another speaker we had on as part of the conference was Eric Gilbert, and pastor of Three Trees Church in Russell Springs. And he spoke on Tuesday night. He got here early Tuesday morning and was great, and came with some of his staff, and they came to our weekly regular staff meeting for us and came and encouraged the staff members before we had service that night. And so I can't remember. I took a bunch of notes from Pastor Eric, so I can't remember if he spoke it in the staff meeting or on Tuesday night, but he said something. He said lots of interesting things, but he said one thing. He said, it's so awesome that we get to it's so awesome that we get to be a part of something that's greater than the part that we play. He said, it's so awesome that we get to be a part of something that's greater than the part that we play. A lot of us, we talked about it a minute ago, a lot of us, we think, man, it's inadequate what we do, right? Our talent, man, it's not really as significant maybe as someone else's, but it's not about that. It's about what we just talked about, letting people know about Jesus. And so it's awesome to think that even though I'm inadequate in certain ways, I'm not perfect. Are you perfect? Nobody's perfect, right? But it doesn't matter about that. It's awesome that we get to play a part in something that's so greater, so much greater than ourselves. I know myself. I know the plans I try to make. I know they're not that great, but I know God's plans are great because His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts higher than my thoughts. I'm glad there's a greater thing I can hook my life to and attach it to, because I know it's greater than anything I'm going to come up with. Another thing that Pastor Eric was talking about he spoke out of Joshua. And I'm just going to give you the scripture reference. You can look it up. It's out of Joshua chapter 14, I think right around verses 9 through 12. For time purposes, I'll let you look that scripture up. But basically, he was talking about that day. Everybody say that day. That day, he was talking about that scripture reference of maybe when God did something in your life. Maybe he made the point about when he spoke something in your life, declared something over your life, and made an impact in your life. And it got me thinking about that day for me and what the day looked like when I encountered Jesus in a very real way, in a meaningful way. And and for me, it was rededicating my life. I grew up in church. I knew the gospel. I knew who Jesus was as an early child. But I got to a point in life around my college years, I started to do my own thing. Anybody ever been there? Started living for me. Wasn't living for God. So I started doing my own thing, and I started building myself on what I thought were pillars, these foundations of my life. And, so I was in school, so I built my life on these pillars, this pillar of this social world, the social life that I thought was, a mainstay in my life. I built it around just education in and of itself. You're in school, it's what you do. It's a part of your life, day in and day out. I was so used to school being there. I was so used to playing ball. I played ball in college. So that whole sports aspect, all of these pillars holding me up, making me who I was, right? And at the end of the day, when school was out, social life kind of ends because everybody gets married, you get jobs, you move on in life. So that kind of goes. School ends, so that kind of goes. And then ball ends because school ends. And all of a sudden, I found myself in this place in life where I thought, for years, I had been building up my life on this firm foundation, these pillars that were a part of me, and then all of it started to crumble away bit by bit, and I found myself in a place where it's like, man, there's got to be more to life than this. And I remember how I encountered Jesus again, and I rededicated my life to him. And it wasn't in a conference. It wasn't even in a church service. It was just some Tuesday, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon in February, and I was by myself in my one-bedroom apartment. And I'd gone on for so long trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong. I mean, so frustrated in a way, right? It's like, man, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more. And I cried out that day. I said, Lord, I want more. I want you. I want to come back. And I promise you, there wasn't condemnation in that room. There wasn't guilt in that room. It was the sweetest feeling I've ever felt. It was as if, and it's about the only time that I can really remember or recall having an experience like this. It was like I felt in my mind's eye, I just pictured two Jesus just embracing me. It felt like he had embraced me was embracing me in that exact moment when I called out to him. And it was like you ever come in from outside and it's hot and humid and you get one in front of those oscillating fans and you start following it around because it feels good, it cools you off. That's why I didn't want that moment to end because it was so sweet. And I will never, until the day I die, I will never forget that day. I will never forget that moment because that's the moment I called out to Jesus. And it wasn't a process. I didn't have to earn it. I didn't have to work it out. He was already waiting on me. And he received me the moment I called out to him. Everybody say that day. Now I want you to do me a favor. I want you to think about your day. What did your day look like when you encountered Christ? Maybe for the first time. Maybe when you rededicated your life to Christ. Where did God meet you? What did he deliver you from? What did he bring you out of? Where's your life now because of what Jesus did for you? And you start to think about those things. And we have that on the forefront of our thoughts. And so then when we say, hey, let's go plant 100 campuses. Let's go join a serve team. Let's go get something done for Jesus. Man, it's so much easier to start to run and instead of trying to question, well, I don't know. Man, can we plant 100 campuses? I don't know, but you know what? Jesus saved me, and I know there are other people in other communities that don't know Jesus. They don't have a that day. They don't have a my experience. And so you know what? I'm going to run with the vision of this house. I'm going to be a part of planting 100 campuses. I'm going to give of my time, my talent, my treasure. I'm going to be a part of a serve team. I'm going to make sure that it's easy for people to know Jesus. Amen. Anybody want to be a part of that? I want to be a part of that. And that's our vision. That's our goal as a church. You know, when Pastor Brian says, hey, let's plant 100 campuses, let's go and let's do it. And so when you do that, I'll just talk about teamwork again to talk about that aspect of it. Hey, when we serve on a team and you do life with people, here's the thing about people. People are not perfect. Amen? Look at your neighbor. Say, that includes you. Look at him back. Say, that's you too, bro. Yeah. All right. So we're all clear, right? Nobody's perfect. That's okay. And so if you can keep in that mindset of that day, you keep that on the forefront of your mind. This is why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for friendship or for fame or for fortune or anything like that, right? It's like I'm doing it for him. Because I know where it was and when it was that Jesus came and crashed into my heart. So when you have that on the forefront of your mind, when you run into people, right? When you serve along people, when you do life with people, and maybe they say the wrong thing or they do the wrong thing, or more personal, when you say the wrong thing and you do the wrong thing, we can operate in grace. And it's like, well, you know what? That's okay. You said something dumb today. I'm going to say something dumb tomorrow. Let's have grace for each other. And let's really remember why we're here. It's for Jesus. It's to make him famous. It's so we can be, the Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ. It means we represent him in the way that we talk, in the way that we act, our countenance. We are here to represent him. And so so when we serve and when we plant campuses, when we serve along people, you know, there's going to be a lot of just worldly imperfections along the way. And that's okay. We're never called to be perfect. He just wants us to be available. Will you be available today? Will you be available to the things of God and push forward so God can move in your life, but moreover, so that we can be used, like Pastor Tiffany was saying, so we can encourage other people, so we don't have to just be a hindrance, but we can be a part of the solution. We can be part of what's adding to the team. So again, we can make it a conducive environment so people can come to know the God that saved us. Amen. Isn't that good? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us as we go. So Father, I thank you, Lord, that it's just an honor just to be in your house. It's an honor to be around you and around your spirit and with your people. And I thank you, Lord, that we're not perfect, and that's okay. But we're being perfected, and you working through us, Father God, you can help us be more like you. And we just say, Lord, use us. Help us. Help us be more like you. Help us talk more like you. Help us think more like you. Help us have a mindset, Father God, where we would never get away from the moment that you crashed into our lives, so that we'd always have a reference point of really what it is and why it is that we're here, that we're serving, that we're worshiping, that we're giving of our time, our talent, our treasure, so that you can be made famous and so that we can make a way for other people who don't know you yet so they can know you. And that's not just in this community. That's in 90-some other communities, Father God. I thank you, Lord, we get to be a part and play a part of something that's so much bigger than ourselves. I thank you, Lord, we'd never lose sight of that, that we get to be a part of something that's so much greater than what we are individually. And I thank you, Lord, we get to be a part of the only thing that you're building on the earth today. It's your church. And the gates of hell might come against it, the ways of this world might come against it, but they will not prevail. You said that we're the victors and never the victims. You say that your church goes on and it wins, that we're the head and never the tail, that we're above and never beneath. And I thank you, Lord, that we never forget that. We walk our days with our heads held high because you saved us and you gave us a reason to go out, like Pastor Tiffany said, and encourage other people that there's a God that loves them, wants a relationship with them. I thank you, Lord, we live every day to the fullest because you've given us everything, Father God, and we give it back to you now. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor because it is rightly yours in Jesus' mighty, mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap today. He's good, amen.